Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship at Plymouth. We're glad to see you all here, and I think we definitely can say spring is finally come.
Yes.
Hope you have a chance to enjoy this beautiful weekend, what's left of it. We see some people back with us today, and I'm sure Pastor David will say more about that, but it's great to see the Moores back from Texas. We are going to open worship today with our opening music, hymn number 50. We will only sing verses 1 and 4. Hymn 50, and we will do verses 1 and 4. One, I hope you picked up some shakers, and if you didn't, is the basket still up there? Anyway, this is a good one for shakers, and we will do verses 1 through 6.
All right, what number is this?
Oh, 389. Oh,
thank you. I didn't bring my bulletin.
Hymn 389. 389.
We've done this before. I think at least once before, maybe a couple times. But you get the hang of it.
Repeat.
Jesus, Son of God, and Lord, just live. Good morning. My name is Sandy Moore, and I'm happy to be back here at Plymouth, and welcome all of you. Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. In the wilderness, water brings life.
Seek us out, O God, and take us to the water.
In the Word of God, the good news gives light.
Seek us out, O God, and fill us with understanding.
In the bread and the wine, the body of our Savior nourishes everyone.
Seek us out, O God, and give us yourself.
Here is the water of life, the word that feeds, the food of eternity.
Come and praise the vine that gives all the goodness.
Jesus, a new covenant is given us, that we should love each other, just as God loves us. Jesus, a new covenant is given us, that we should love each other, just as God loves us.
Fails to forgive us whenever we come to God in confession. And so in that spirit, let us be together in the prayer of confession. God of mercy, we confess that we have not borne the fruit of the Spirit. We have not loved
others as you have loved us. We have denied the promises of baptism and cut ourselves off from you. We have failed to share with our neighbors the bread of your body, the church, and the cup of your salvation. Forgive us, restore us, that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy. For the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You have already been cleansed by the word that God has spoken to the world that God loves. Believe the promise given to you in Easter resurrection, that in Jesus Christ you are forgiven. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Take a moment and share the peace with your neighbors. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Bart. Peace be with you. Good to see you. Peace be with you, Charlene. Peace be with you, Rex. Peace be with you, Mary. Whoops, Mike. Peace be with you. Yeah, Mary. Peace be with you. Faith. Peace be with you. That we should love each other. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That was me. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it might be. I turned the ambient mic up, so I'm wondering if you're listening on headphones that might have turned it up too much. Morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Yeah, because I've noticed, like, on the recording, it just hasn't been recording real loud. Good morning, Dana. Peace be with you. Sorry I missed you on Wednesday. Okay. Yeah, that's what Bob said. But... yeah. That, which is probably more important work to do than to come meet with a bunch of people you already agree with. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Another time. Yeah. Oh, hey, good morning. Peace be with you. I should love each other. Oh, my bulletin is just...
Good morning.
Greetings to you all in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, who calls us together, who makes us one flock, and who calls us to love the world and make the world a better place for all of his people. Welcome to Plymouth. Good to have us all here, to be back together in this beginning of May, and especially to have John and Sandy back with us. Good to see you again, and glad that you were willing to go immediately to work as liturgist for us. So thank you. Much appreciated. We have Steve Carlson, who was here in December. He played music in Sunday worship, and then we did the Blue Christmas service together with him. He is now has a job here in Eau Claire, and he likes to play music and kind of trying to learn how to play more music. So he and I got together last Tuesday night, and we're going to keep doing this. Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, we're just going to come in. We have a whole bunch of music. We'll just play kind of whatever we might feel like playing. So if you have an instrument you want to bring in, or if you just want to come and sing, you don't have to have an instrument to play. We'll just get together and make music for an hour, not with any real agenda or specific plan or anything. So if you would like to come and make music, even if you've never done it before and just want to maybe learn how, come join us on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. We'll be here in the sanctuary making music. Today is Communion Sunday. We do have an open table. All people are invited to share in communion, and then we have our picnic afterward. I got a couple of guys out there grilling for us, making some wonderful food. So please stay and eat and enjoy some fellowship time after worship this morning. And then next Sunday, we have something special planned for the women. Not going to tell you what that is. You have to be here to find out what it is, but next Sunday we'll have something special for the women of the church, and also John Stecker is going to be playing for us, I believe. Is that correct? You are playing next Sunday, right? Okay. Very good. So come in and also hear John's going to play his trumpet. Past week was Secretary Appreciation Week a little while ago. Kind of forgot to mention that, so you could all call Mimi and give her a big thanks for all the work that she does. And today also is her birthday. So if you want, this week would be a good time to call and say happy birthday, say thanks to her for all that she does, keep making everything in this church work so smoothly and so wonderfully. And we also want to keep in prayers Abby Russell, the woman that's been missing this last week. She's not really connected to this church, but I somehow, through a chain of people, got connected in with the family. They were going to have a prayer vigil this afternoon. They asked me to lead for them, but the body was found. I don't know if it's hers yet or not, but the family has decided not to do the prayer vigil today, but I'm kind of feeling there's some connection now between them and us, and we'll see what the news has to say, and keep them in your prayers as well. Anything else you need to say? Deb?
Just a reminder for all the people with gardens. Yesterday was a beautiful day, and Keith and I were outside all afternoon digging things up and potting them for our plant sale that comes with the Pine Ice Cream Social. So as you get in your gardens, you get little pieces of something, or you're splitting, and you could share them with us. If you need pots, if you need soil, if you need someone to help you plant them, just contact me and we'll get what you need. Was a nice
money maker
last year, so it's bigger than
this
year.
Thanks.
Excellent. Deb, when is that date? When is it? Yeah. Does anybody
June 10th.
It's in June.
Yep, June.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. Well, let us continue our worship. Our theme is love this morning. Our epistle lesson has a lot to say about love. That's kind of what I'm going to focus on in a sense. And so as we come into our centering song, keep that in your mind, and we'll sing. Lynn will lead us in the centering song, and we've been singing this the last number of weeks, so you should have the melody, although the words have changed each week, but the melody has been the same. So Lynn, it's all yours.
Book of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God, so that we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in life. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. We will read the Psalm 22 responsively. From you comes my praise, in the great congregation my vows I will pray before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall all go down to dust, and I shall live for him.
Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
And proclaim his deliverance to the people yet unborn, saying,
thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John. This is part of Jesus' discourse to his disciples at the Last Supper, their last evening that they shared together. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words of John's gospel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. We did, since Easter Sunday and for the four Sundays in April, we talked about the roadblocks of life. I did a kind of a sermon series on the roadblocks of life, the things that get in our way of living resurrection lives, of living as fully as God intends for us to live. Those things that just kind of keep us from not being as full people as we might like to be. And we talked about on Easter Sunday about this roadblock of forgetting that Jesus is with us and that Jesus knows us, that Jesus loves us, knows us by name, calls us by name. Then we talked about self-doubt, the way that we sabotage ourselves or think that we're not worthy of good things in life or whatever moments of self-doubt that we might have. And then we talked about the temptation that there is when the life gets difficult, when obstacles are put in front of us, when we have difficult decisions, there's that temptation to want to run away or ignore it, pretend it's not there. And then last week we talked about Jesus as the good shepherd. We had a lot of shepherd imagery last week as kind of the culmination of that series, to talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, to remember that we are part of Jesus's flock. And especially to remember that as part of Jesus' flock, we have many other people around us who are part of that flock. And how even knowing that we're part of a flock, we still have this temptation to want to go it alone, to not want to ask for help. And talked about some of the social and cultural baggage that says if we ask for help, we're weak, or that asking for help is shameful or embarrassing some way, even though, and I have to say this is, I think, a Midwestern thing. We are so ready and happy to help people. We are a very helpful and generous people. Always, someone asks for help, we're there, but we hate to ask for help, even though we know everyone around us is eager and would love to give us a hand. And we talked about the fiction of the self-made person. And each week I gave you a task. And last week I gave you what I thought was a pretty fun task. And that was simply to connect with your flock, to remind yourself that you're part of a flock by connecting with someone in your flock. Connect with a friend you haven't seen in a while, or a family member, or anyone. So I don't know, who did that? Who connected with a friend intentionally this last week? All right, two of us. I challenge you, the rest of you, to do this. How did it go?
Meeting for lunch this week.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Well, more of you ought to do that. I ended up doing it with two this week. And it was just really wonderful to reconnect with people. I think we get so busy sometimes that we forget that we have friends and family in our lives. And so I gathered with a couple of friends this week, actually with three friends, but one of them, he and I had made plans many, many months ago, so I don't count that as part of me fulfilling the challenge. I went down and saw my friend Roger in Madison, but knowing I was going to be down in Madison, I thought that I'd be coming back Saturday morning. He had to go to work, so I'd have the morning free, and I thought, I'm going to connect with a friend I haven't seen in a while. So I connected with one. I hadn't seen her in 2 years. In the time that we've been apart, she went and set up a couple of medical clinics in Africa and got married. Kind of nice to catch up, to hear her stories, to get together with her and to strengthen our connection, and especially to remind me that I'm part of a flock. And not just one that's immediately here, but friends all over the place. A flock that God has called together, of a flock of mutual support, a flock that is based in love, that's bound by the strings of love. And then I also had an idea before I went down to Madison to spend time with my friend Roger. I thought, I'm going to make him some bread. I've been in a big bread baking mode since the thrift sale. So I thought, I'm going to make a couple of loaves of bread for Roger, and because my oven fits 4 bread loaf pans, it's just as easy to make 4 loaves as it is to make 2, so I knew I'd have some extra. So I had an idea. I was like, I posted on Facebook as I started to make the bread. I posted that I'm making bread. I'm making some bread, and then I put in a link to last week's sermon to say, last Sunday I preached about reconnecting with friends, reconnecting with flock, with people in our flock, to remind us that we're not alone, but that we are part of a community. So I made an offer. I said, I will give a loaf to whoever responds first, but with the stipulation that you have to come to my place to pick it up. And while you're here, we're going to sit down and have tea or coffee, whatever you like, and a conversation. We're going to sit and catch up with one another. And my friend Anne Marie took the bait on that one, and I hadn't seen her in a number of months, and I had never spent time with her alone. It's always been kind of a group thing. So we just sat and talked for 45 minutes or so and had some tea. And we didn't eat any of the bread that I made for her, but it was still a kind of communion. It was this communion holy moment to reconnect with her, just as it was with my friend down in Madison. They have lunch together. We sat for probably an hour and a half, maybe a little bit more, just reconnecting, reminding us that we are bound to one another. Because it is so easy to forget that we're in a community of love, certainly here in the church. Church is called into this community of love, but also the community of our friends and our family, and even the community we have in our schools, in our workplaces. I think workplaces are one place that often we don't think of as a community. It can be a place that we just go there, we do our job, we go home, maybe share some stories, get to know some of the people that we work closely with, but don't think of that necessarily as a community, even though we spend a lot of our life there. And when I look back on some of the jobs I've had in my life, the ones that I really enjoyed, the ones that I felt very fulfilled at, didn't have so much to do with the work that we were doing, but the community. Working at the grocery store, there was an intentional sense that we all ought to know each other's name. So even though I worked in the front as a checker and a bagger, I knew the people in the meat department. I knew the butchers. I knew the people working in the produce department, working out in the warehouse. We all knew each other's names. When I worked at the consulting firm in New York, I knew the guys in the mailroom, the accounting department. The company was very intentional about making sure that all the support staff, we had 4 big parties every year, so we could spend time with each other. We'd go to a game, go on a river cruise, something, but to get us out to know one another, and it made the workplace just that much more enjoyable, that much more fulfilling. We are made to be connected, made to be connected. We're not meant to be alone or to think that we have to be alone. I think that's Jesus' overriding message. He is always bringing people together, bringing people to him, bringing people into community, and going to those who have been pushed out of the community to bring them back in, to restore women into the community, the lepers, the outcasts, whoever it was, to bring them into community. We are to love our neighbor, which is to be connected to our neighbors, Because we are all God's people. We are all connected. Connected in that vine of God's love. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, and we bear fruit by showing love, by being love toward other people. That's why I included that reading from 1 John today. I don't often include the lessons that are from the letters, because often the gospel is a lot more interesting, and it's more fun to preach on what Jesus had to say. But I wanted to read that epistle lesson today of 1 John, because it talks so much about love. So rich in what the life of a follower of Jesus looks like. The writer says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We love because God first loved us. We love as a response to God's love. We are able to love because God's love comes through us, pours through us." And then there's that line in the epistle that seems to be an answer to the question, where is God? When the writer says, no one has ever seen God. It can often feel like God's not around because we don't see God physically. And I ask that question, where is God? But the writer says here, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perpetuated in us. So where is God? Wherever love is being shown. Wherever love is happening, that's where God is. God is in our flock. God is in the people who love us. So let them love you and show love in return. You may ask, where is God in Nepal? Well, God is in all the people who are spending days digging, trying to pull people out of the rubble. That's where God is. I mentioned before Abby Russell, the young woman who's been missing. Where is God in that? God is in the people who are giving up their time and their resources to search for her, to get the word out that she's missing. God is in the people who are praying for her, getting the word out. Where is God in Baltimore? God is in the people who are crying out for justice. God is in the people who are trying to end the violence. I think God, you can even see God at work. You may have seen the story in some of those gangs that got together to go out and try to stop people from burning cars and breaking into stores, who were doing their own version of trying to end violence. God is there. And where is God here? Where is God here? God is here in our care for the sick and our care for one another and our coming together for a meal that we'll do after worship, for the picnic, coming together in the thrift sale that we did last week. And God is also here and present in the bread and the cup of this table that Jesus has set for us. This table that Jesus has set to invite us in to connect with us again, to bring his flock around him, to share at the table, to connect with us over bread and over the cup. Wherever love is, God is there. That's where God is. That's the good news, that God is wherever love is. Wherever love is, there is God. That's news that we can have faith in and that we can have hope in. And amen and thanks be to God. I don't think we've sung that in a while. Wow. Good to sing some of those old traditional hymns. Well, it is time for us to worship through our offerings, giving of our tithes and other gifts so that the mission and ministry and work of this church may continue. So our morning offering will now be received. O God, give your loving spirit to a world in need of comfort. Make our many gifts one offering for the world to bind us together as one people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated for our communion hymn.
And God does love us, and God calls us to this table, calls all of God's people to this table, to be fed and nourished, to share in the fellowship, to be reconnected with one another and with God. And so let us come to the table now. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give our thanks and praise.
You gave us Christ Jesus, who frees us from darkness and lights our path to endless renewal and life eternal. And so, with all of creation, with all the needy and hungry ones, with all those who have enough and plenty, with creatures large and small, with sun and moon and stars, and with the saints of every age, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God, creator of all things. By your power and love, you continue to deliver your people from bondage, thwart the designs of evil, show the way through the wilderness, turn hardship into righteousness, and reveal your hand upholding the just. Blessed are you, O Christ, servant of the universe.
You came among us to feed and heal and teach.
To confound the haughty, to confuse the tricksters, challenge the wrong-hearted.
And in all these things, to give hope to those who long for peace. Remembering our Lord's self-giving love, we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Blessed are you, O Spirit, giver of life. You give us words when we have none. You fill us with vision when we have the most need. You give us voice to proclaim our faith in every hour. Be our guide and teacher today and always. So come now, O Prince of Peace, Spirit of Love, Breath of Life. Bring to all this hurting world the joy that Mary knew and teach us to proclaim with her, I have seen the Lord. In the unity of the Holy Trinity, in gratitude for this great day of resurrection, we praise you, God of all that is, now and forever. Amen. On that last night that Jesus shared with his disciples as they gathered around the table as they had so many times before, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, this is my body, given for you. And after supper, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of all sins. And whenever you drink and eat of these, do so in remembrance of me. And so now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we may come forward, for all has been made ready and all are invited to the table. So I invite our ushers to come forward. And as we serve the bread, I ask that you please take a piece and hold on to it until we're all served and we will eat together, symbolizing our unity as the body of Christ.
Thank you.
This is the body of Christ given for you. Eat in remembrance of him. As we share in the cup of salvation, we have grape juice on the outside, rings, wine in the middle, and ask that you drink as you are served, symbolizing our individual yearning to touch the divine, to reach the Creator, to connect with God. And this is the cup of salvation poured out for you for the forgiveness of all sins. And so drink this in remembrance of him. Let us say together the prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Guys, for the final hymn, if you're able. Thank you.
questions and be ready to answer a mystery with love.
As Jesus entered into human life, his life is still alive in us.
The blessing of Almighty God be upon us.